It's time for Bounded Enthusiasm.
Welcome to Bounded Enthusiasm. I'm your host, Jonathan Liu. My guest today is Lucy Nisley, who has written and illustrated several comic book memoirs and travel logs. Her latest book is Something New, Tales from a Makeshift Bride. It's just out this month, and I'm excited to welcome her to the podcast today. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
So we're here to talk about your new book, Something New, Tales from a Makeshift Bride. Do you want to give just a little blurb about it?
Sure. Something New is a collection of stories that came from the insanity of wedding planning from a feminist, atheistic, geek perspective. It's a graphic novel that contains some DIY projects, lots of insane bridal stories, and some historical explanations for why we do some of the ridiculous things that we do associated with weddings.
I read this recently, and I have to admit, I stayed up late reading it just because it was like, this is so fun. And it's also your biggest book yet.
Yes.
It's a substantial book.
It's a big boy.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, you were working on this while you were planning your wedding, right?
That's right. It was almost entirely written before the wedding, barring the points of actual,
right.
The actual wedding themselves, and then drawn in the 8 months following the wedding.
How does it feel recording the process of planning your wedding while you were planning your wedding? Do you feel like it helped you process all of that, or did it add stress?
Well, I tend to make memoirs and then I make travelogues, sort of taking turns either way. And I find that it really helps me to make travelogues because it forces me to process what I'm going through on the fly and sort of try and make sense of my emotions and my experiences as I'm going along. And I think it really bulks up this muscle memory ability that I have been developing over the past 12 years of doing this, that I've been able to not just sort of take memories and put them in context and try and find a broader theme, but also to sort of do that while I'm experiencing the emotions, which I think adds something interesting to work. So this one is kind of a crossbreed between what I typically call a travelogue experience, something that I was doing in the moment, and a memoir experience that I was finding a broader context and recalling memories from the past. But I found that it was more difficult to sort of relive the experience in the 8 months following the wedding through drawing it on a tight deadline and having to reimmerse myself in the wedding planning process that I had just escaped.
Right.
I found that to be the most difficult part.
I did really enjoy reading this and feeling like you did a really great job of capturing, you know, the feel of what's going on, like telling a story for one thing. Oh, it's just a fun story to read about these people, like characters in a book, going through all this wedding planning. I see what you mean of talking about like the muscle memory and capturing themes, because when I think about what would I write about, like a story of my life, how would I encapsulate that in a way that approximates this sort of memoir thing? And I was like, no, I don't think I would be paying attention to what's going on in my life enough, right, to be able to do that. It's one of those things where, like, I want someone to write a story like this about me, because then it would be interesting to read. So I really enjoyed it. I liked the fact that you've got the little personal touches where there's the actual photographs of things that, you know, we've read, like the little cats, for instance. You wrote about the cat figurines. And then there's at the end of the chapter, there's a photo of the actual figurines. That sort of thing is also really fun, just to see that, like, sort of grounding back in. Here's a photo of this place or this thing or whatever.
I find that really interesting. I've been working with photographs in my graphic novels since the beginning. My first book, French Milk, included these things. And I've always found it really interesting, because when you write a graphic novel and tell a true story, you're in control of so many aspects of what the reader experiences, not only how you remember it, but how it looked to you, and allows this sort of measure of control that doesn't exist in regular prose nonfiction writing. I think including the photographs is really interesting because it allows the people to sort of see it from a camera's perspective and suddenly to be confronted by, oh, this person is telling something that's actually happened that's very true, and here's the photographic evidence to compare with.
Do you ever feel the way that you picture either yourself or other people in your comics and in your mind, do you ever feel like you see the photograph and go, oh, that's not how I've been picturing myself or John or my mom? Do you ever get that sense, or is it easy to have those two images in your head?
I think certainly with myself, the act of self-portraiture I've always found to be very soothing, to try and understand myself from another perspective, try and see myself outside of myself. And I find self-portraiture to be a way to do that, which is the origin of why I started making comics about myself. So there's this idea of this character that I'm drawing that represents myself. But at the same time, I'll see a picture of myself and go, oh, no. I have much less of a personal connection to that than I do to this drawing that I've made that represents me. But as far as most of my friends and family go, that is my perspective. That's my outside perspective of how they appear to me. So it's often less jarring.
Do any of your friends and family ever say, can you draw my teeth a little differently? There's that one moment at the rehearsal dinner where, you know, your mom's introducing herself and, mm-hmm. and she says, most of you probably know me like this. And she's holding up a sign, I assume, of a drawing of her.
Yes.
But what's funny to me, that moment where in the book, it's a drawing of your mom holding up a drawing.
Right. Many layered drawing of her.
For our listeners, in between the chapters, there are little interesting wedding facts, like bridal marketing schemes and bridal traditions and origins of traditions in some cases. Yeah. Is that all stuff that you've sort of discovered in the course of writing the book and planning your wedding? Or are these some of these things that, like, stories you already knew and you just really wanted to include?
No, I discovered them over the course of planning. As soon as I got engaged, I was inundated with this huge flood of information of publications and magazines and wedding how-to books and things like that. And most of them were just shells to actually try and sell me something and try and force me into some kind of traditional thing that I didn't understand, I didn't want any part of.
Mm-hmm.
You get these morning talk show things like bridal must-dos, and you see these bridal magazines telling you, you know, oh, here's the right kind of veil to buy, and here's just some 8 wedding traditions that will make your wedding perfect sort of thing.
You'll never believe number 6.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't actually giving me anything mm-hmm. other than sort of trying to sell me something or try to make me lose weight or spend a lot of money on a dress or do stupid wedding traditions that I didn't get. I didn't understand why I was expected to do these things. All of a sudden, it threw me into this pit of research, basically, where I was trying to dig my way out through this information by finding out why we actually do a lot of the things associated with weddings and what other cultures do and what people in history have done and what it means. I was like, that's a really weird one. Like, why do we even do that? Oh, because of a totally creepy, horrible thing that shouldn't exist anymore? Oh, well, then I feel totally right and justified in saying that I want no part of that at my wedding. And these stories were often so ridiculous and hilarious that it only made sense for me to include them in the book.
Mm-hmm. I love the bridal marketing schemes.
Oh,
where just the, you know, can you tell the real from the fake? And right. They're just so over the top, ridiculous. I got married right out of college. And I feel like mm-hmm. because we did that, we missed a lot. Like, you know, one, it was a long time ago. We didn't have the money really to put that
sure?
much into all of these.
I'm not exactly sure who has the money to
well...
buy some of these things, like. Perhaps those people might have too much money.
Yeah, and I think the other thing was, you know, for us, it's like, well, it's great. It's the start of your marriage. You want it to be perfect.
Of course.
But in the end, it's the one day. It's the party. It's not the marriage.
Right. And it's what it symbolizes is lovely and, you know, deserves our honor and our respect and our celebration. But it's not going to matter if you have personalized centerpieces on the table or not. Like, people aren't going to remember that or care, and you'll have spent thousands of dollars and, you know, walk away from this with 50 personalized wedding centerpieces.
10 years from now, what do you think people will remember about your wedding? What will you remember about your wedding?
Well, the weather was definitely forced to be remembered because it was outside, and I had hoped that it would be at this beautiful time of year, and our wedding coordinator had said, oh, I've worked 100 million weddings at this time of year, and we've never gotten rain. It's a very dry time of year. It's a very dry area, and you can just bank on there being no rain, no rain. And so I was like, great, it's this great backyard wedding. I would love to be outside as much as possible. It's this beautiful place in my mother's backyard. And then it was cold and it was raining. And it was early September in upstate New York. And I just remember being like, I cannot believe I put so much thought and so much research into this whole process. And I can't believe that I didn't bank on rain.
Right.
So I think that people will remember being like cold and wet and ruining their shoes in mud. Despite all of these things, it was still a great party.
Mm-hmm. We, like you, were very concerned about making sure that we got to eat at our wedding. And so ours was at a Methodist church. And if you know Methodists, you know that their churches include kitchens because it's all about the food. And so we had our wedding. And then after the wedding, everyone just went downstairs, and we had my wife's family raises cattle. And so we actually had really, really great steak that people still talk to us about.
That's awesome.
yeah, they still remember the food at our wedding. I don't know if people remember it much else about the wedding, but they remember the food.
Perfect.
Which that's a good thing to remember.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very positive force.
Not to depart from the book too much, but in your book, you know, you had this story of your engagement, and you said in this book that you immediately, like, you went after that and you wrote down, made this comic, or you shared with your online readers that you were engaged and just your feelings about that. And so I went and looked up the comic because I hadn't read that one, and then also noticed your latest comic at the time, which is that you're expecting.
That's right. Yep.
And that you've been hiding it.
Right.
And that you had been hiding it for a while. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
It's very exciting.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to know, because you mentioned in the comic where you announced you're pregnant, your memoir is drawn. You draw yourself. You don't have to reveal anything you don't want to. But you mentioned, like, doing this sort of TV show type hiding your pregnant belly stuff. Did you feel like you didn't want to draw yourself without a pregnant belly in the months leading up to that?
There was something about sort of falsifying my identity. Like, I talked about self-portraiture earlier on in this interview and how it really helps me to sort of understand who I am and where I exist in the world, to sort of see this representation of myself on paper and to have this kind of disparate drawing representing my current self that wasn't pregnant seemed really weird and disingenuous. And I think part of it was that I really enjoyed the fact that there were kind of these Easter eggs leading up to the big reveal that people could kind of say, hey, wait a minute, I think I know what's going on here. But part of it was that I feel very strongly about sort of representing myself as honestly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And all the information, of course, is curated. I share what I'm comfortable with. I try and put the events of my life in a broader context to create a bond between myself and the reader. But at the same time, it's true information. It's honest information. And I was curious to see how long I could keep it going a little bit, too. At a certain point, my publishers were kind of antsy to announce the next book, which was going to be about the pregnancy, And I realized that if they're going to announce a book about me being pregnant, I should probably let people know that I'm actually pregnant, in fact.
They would find out eventually.
Yeah, I mean, once the book was published.
Right, right. You know, I did wanted to follow up on that, too. So have you been, I guess, writing a book about your pregnancy? I guess, how long ago did you turn in something new?
I finished it last summer.
Okay.
And then it takes, you know, almost a year for the publisher to put it out from when the graphic novel gets completed.
Okay.
So I finished it, I think, in last June or July. And so ever since then, and even before then, we were sort of trying to conceive, and I was taking notes and keeping journal entries and sketchbooks and stuff. And now I have a ton of information that I have to sort of sift through and make sense of and write a script for. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been working on at present. Well, that and gestating.
That and, you know, making a human
right,
being
yeah.
inside you.
Yeah, exactly.
So have you been immersed in pregnancy and parenting books the way that you were with bridal magazines and all of that?
Oh, much more.
Much more?
Much more severe. I mean, I think that when your body is fundamentally changing in such an insane way, it's impossible not to become somewhat obsessed with what's going on with
yeah.
you. I think all new parents who are preparing themselves for the total unpreparableness of it all
right.
tend to be over researchers. And so now I'm over researching double time because I'm also doing it in the name of writing this graphic novel and trying to find weird, funny, bizarre things to include and strange science facts and odd things about your identity that shifts during pregnancy. And it's been really, really interesting. And so I think if anything, I've gone totally overboard in terms of the research, just between my own like prenatal worries and the fact that I'm writing this book. It works out really well.
All right. I do wish you the best in pregnancy and having the baby and parenting.
Oh, thank you.
Obviously, over at Geek Dad, we're big fans of kids and we love kids. We love being parents. So I'm very excited for you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
I wanted to find out, John writes an afterword in Something New, a little bit of like a short bit about his perspective mm-hmm. on the whole thing. But how does he feel having very personal moments from his life, since it's shared with you, those
being
moments?
Fodder.
Well, you know, being fodder, but I mean, also being very public. It's not quite on the level of being a celebrity where people are hounding you and following you and publishing
right.
things. It's not someone, like some random person publishing stories about him. But at the
right,
same
right.
time, it is sort of like things that I have said to one person or to two in a small group are now available to be read by, you know, anybody who wants to pick up this book or go to this website. How does that feel for him?
Well, like, I can't speak for him, of course, but one of the things that has been really lovely is John's support through all of this. And, you know, when he and I started dating, I was starting to get into this career and starting to make comics about my life. And he was very enthusiastic to be a part of it from the beginning and very willing to kind of hand over the reins of these stories that we shared. And it's really lovely. Like, he never tries to insert himself in a way that a lot of my family will come up and say, "Lucy, I got an idea for a comic that you gotta do." And I'm like, "Okay, all right, yep, I'll think about that." But John is much more trusting mm-hmm. when it comes to me making comics about our life. And it's really lovely. And I respect that trust so much that I am always very careful to show him the comics that I make ahead of time before I show them to anyone else. And before I even think about starting to make a comic about something that might be a little bit touchy for us, I talk it over with him mm-hmm. extensively. I mean, he knew what he was getting into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Going out. So I think that that's part of it, is that he's just sort of used to this by now. And part of it is just that he knows that I kind of have a code of ethics when it comes to making comics. I think that he feels a great deal of trust when it comes to this sort of thing. I hope to honor that trust continuing mm-hmm. on in our marriage. I think it's like most relationships, that there has to be this level of trust when it comes to what you reveal about your relationship.
Mm-hmm. I will warn you, I'm sure you're getting lots and lots of pregnancy and parenting advice already. Anytime you're parenting in public, which you will be, presumably, you will get lots of random advice.
At 8 months pregnant, I'm getting, you know, random people on the street coming up to me. It's pretty great.
No matter what you do, somebody will tell you you're doing things wrong.
Oh, great. Really
but,
looking forward
but you
to
know
that.
What? It's okay. Because it's your kid.
It's true. I just read a piece on a pregnancy blog about this, actually, about baby monkeys and how in certain monkey groups, herds, whatever, the alpha female monkey will go up to a new mother monkey and try and take the baby away. And the new mother monkey has to either sort of relinquish the baby or try and fight back the alpha female. And how this is like a perfect explanation of what is the motivating factor behind this unsolicited parenting advice that people have, because everybody wants to be the alpha mom monkey and like come and take the baby monkey and protect it from anything that can harm it. This article sort of ended on this note of saying, yeah, well, just tell these people to stop being a monkey and to like back off.
That does explain a lot, though.
Right? It's like this instinct.
It is an instinct. It's an instinct. What's funny to me, I think, is particularly the amount of parenting advice that you'll get from people who don't actually have kids.
Oh, yeah. That's always really fun.
That's where it's a whole category of advice you get from people who don't actually have their own kids, because, you know,
yeah.
they know better than you.
I have these, like, 20-something single friends who are like, you're going to breastfeed, right? Because otherwise it would be terrible. And I'm like, you know what? I think that you don't actually know a lot of information about that. And I've been reading books about this for the past year of my life. And I think I can make this decision without you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your very busy and fascinating and interesting life. that I get to read about later.
Oh, thanks so much.
I really enjoyed the book, and I know you don't get to go on book tour this time because you are pregnant and due any day now,
not,
right?
Not allowed on an airplane, yeah.
But I do wish you the best on being able to publicize this book and create new life.
Thank you. Simultaneously.
Yes. Meanwhile, I will be, you know, recording podcasts and writing about books, because that's what I do.
All important things.
Well, while raising kids, but yeah. I didn't make them inside me. I just claimed them afterward.
Yeah, that's important too.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck with everything else, and I look forward to seeing your next book when it comes out.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Drawings of your baby.
Yep. There's going to be a lot. Prepare yourself.
This podcast has been a production of the Geek Dad Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geekdad.